Ruth, chapter 2, part 3, Grace to Stay in God's Word. Ruth, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tell us, Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Boaz's response to Ruth's godly approach by grace was to provide her with everything she had need of, including protection from anyone harming her. He had only one commandment for Ruth, stay in his field, no matter how good any other field may look. Ruth witnessed firsthand what had happened to Naomi when the famine came, and she left God's land to go to Moab. She lost her husband, both sons, and everything she had. Our Lord promises us all our provisions with the same command, that we look only to him by faith and not wander elsewhere in the world when tempted with doubt in his provision. The Holy Spirit tells us to stay with the pure word of God. Do not wander to no man-made creeds and doctrines. Stay in God's field, his word, because he, the word, is the near kinsman. The Old Testament is the near kinsman to the New Testament. Just stay in that field and we will find grace with him. The Galatians wandered from their field of God's word, causing Paul to write to them in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Satan is a master deceiver, making other paths look easier or better for us while still giving the appearance that it is of God. However, God gives us the mind of Christ so we will not be deceived. Just stay with the unfailing word. Do not leave that field. Ruth 2 verse 10 tells us, Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger? Ruth is overtaken by Boaz's kindness to her. She was not only a foreigner, but was from a country that had opposed Israel in the past. She was from the country of Moab, which began from a relationship between Lot and his daughter. Moab as a nation was an enemy to Israel, with several wars between them. This is an exact shadow of how God draws us to himself. We come out of our foreign land of unbelief, opposing God's word, and meet our Lord of the harvest, Jesus Christ. He changes our nature with a genuine born-again experience and places us as citizens in his Christian nation with all his blessings and promises. God's amazing grace is incomprehensible to us, and just as Ruth, we feel unworthy and question why God would accept us. Knowing this, have you ever wondered what it will be like the first time we finally see the Lord of the harvest, our bridegroom, face to face? What will be the first thing that we say to him? Ruth chapter 2, 11 through 13. And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. For that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Boaz answered Ruth by explaining that one reason he was so kind to her was because she was so good to his kinfolk after the death of her husband. Boaz already knew everything about Ruth from hearing about her goodness and unwavering commitment to his people and to his God. The book of Matthew informs us some will be judged and rewarded because of helping others in time of need. Matthew 25, verse 40, And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. We were once married to our first nature and loved the world and the things of the world. Our Boaz, Christ, knew everything about us before we ever met him. When we became one with our new nature, God, our old nature or husband, Satan, died out. Thankfully, God cast it into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. And Boaz saw the level of Ruth's commitment by her leaving her father, mother, and the land of her birth without looking back or seeking any personal reward. Matthew chapter 10 informs us of the New Testament teachings of our Boaz, the Lord of the harvest, in Matthew 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. When Boaz saw Ruth gleaning in the field, it was her character that impressed him. He saw the same type of life in her as he had himself. It is the same for us today. Great preaching, success with big names and great buildings are not what our Lord is looking for either. He looks only to our humble character, so much like his own, motivated only by unselfish love. How could the word, our Lord, have an attraction for anyone but a word bride? We are becoming one with him. Ruth chapter 2, verse 14, And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Ruth, the Moabitess, has certainly caught the attention of the Lord of the harvest, Boaz. Boaz was so impressed with Ruth's unwavering lifelong promise, or covenant, to his kinfolk and his God, that he awards her with the honor of personally breaking bread and dipping it in the vinegar with the Lord of the harvest. The breaking of bread in the Bible was a common type of covenant or truce between two people or groups of people. The vinegar was a popular, tasty treat from sour wine and eaten to refresh and give increased energy to the workers. Ruth accepts the invitation and eats until completely satisfied, still having some left over. This is a perfect type of our Lord of the harvest, Jesus. When he invites us to sup with him, we are not only totally satisfied, but we cannot contain all he has to offer us throughout eternity. Revelation 3, 20 and 21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Ruth heard the voice of Boaz and accepted the invitation to sup with him. We will soon see Boaz's kindness to Ruth is much more than she would realize, all because her approach to him was by grace, not demanding what the law had promised her. In our approach to the Lord Jesus Christ, our humble attitude with respect is the first step to getting him to look our way. Ruth chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. Just as Boaz commanded his young men, God commands us to assist in meeting the needs of others whom he chooses as his workers in the field. Ruth is rewarded for her good deeds and commitment from Boaz, through his workers. The attitude in which you and I display as workers in God's harvest determines the mercy and the grace given to us from our Lord of the harvest. Matthew 5:7, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The law gave Ruth the right to glean in the fields, but Boaz's grace gave her the right to glean among the sheaves. The sheaves are where the workers harvested the best and most plentiful grain for their owner. Boaz's grace went way above the law with generosity to glean among the sheaves. His grace even went further when he instructed his workers to drop some of the best for her on purpose. Ephesians 2, verse 6, And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There is so much more to our Lord of the harvest than his mercy to forgive us of our sins. Grace took him to the cross where he died, giving us full rights as sons. What amazing grace! We will testify of his grace throughout eternity. Ruth chapter 2, verses 17 through 19. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her what she had reserved after she had sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I brought today is Boaz." Ruth did not abuse the grace given her from Boaz, but she worked all day and into the evening. The grace given to her inspired her to work even harder and longer. Grace actually became her motivation. Ruth gleaned an ephah of barley, which was about a 10-day supply for her and her mother-in-law Naomi. When Naomi saw the great blessing Ruth brought home, she asked, "What field did she glean in?" She knew this could not be from just an extremely busy day of gleaning, but had to be a blessing that the law of allowing the foreigners to glean could never produce. Naomi knew Ruth found grace with someone and wanted to know whom. Ruth excitedly obliged her with his name and all the details. This sounds familiar to when we first met our Boaz, the Lord Jesus. We became so overwhelmed with happiness and joy that everyone questioned us, asking who we were with and what happened to us. Grace should be our greatest inspiration and motivation to not only stay in his field, but to work diligently in the harvest, as the workers are few. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Matthew 9:37. And then Ruth 2, verse 20 says, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." A kinsman in Hebrew is geol, meaning relative. Boaz was a near relative, and the responsibilities by law of the near relative are defined in Deuteronomy chapter 25. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. The Redeemer had to be a blood relative. This is why Jesus had to come to earth with pure blood, being made in the likeness of man. Philippians 2, verse 7 tells us, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." To qualify as a kinsman redeemer, three conditions must be met. One, the closest relative had the right to redeem. Boaz qualified. And when Jesus came in the likeness of men, he became a blood relative and met one of the qualifications of the kinsman redeemer. Two, the redeemer had to have the ability to redeem. He had to have the means to pay the price to care for the one who needed redemption. Again, Boaz qualified as redeemer, being a wealthy man, the Lord of the harvest. And through Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary, he, the Lord of the harvest, paid the price of redemption for the whole earth with his pure, sinless blood. Number three, the person had to be willing to redeem the blood relative and to continue to provide for them. It was love that constrained Boaz to redeem Naomi and marry the Gentile Ruth. And it was the perfect love of God that produced the grace that put Jesus on the cross. He then proves out his more than adequate willingness to watch over his redeemed on a moment-by-moment basis by taking up residency within them by his Spirit. Ruth chapter 2, 21 through 23. "And Ruth the Moabite said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." Ruth was now raised to an even higher position in the grace of Boaz. He and his workers purposely dropped bundles for her to glean. Now he has her gleaning the whole season right next to his actual workers. Boaz was paying these workers, and Ruth was working right alongside them, being permitted to keep everything she gleaned for herself. She had no part in the planting, fertilizing, watering, weeding, or in any way getting the barley to the harvesting stage, but she reaped the same benefits as if she worked from the beginning. This is a beautiful type of the grace offered to us from the Lord of our harvest, Jesus Christ. We certainly benefit from his efforts now and will continue to enjoy them as our inheritance throughout the ages in eternity. It is also very interesting to see Ruth getting instruction from Naomi. It was stated earlier that Naomi represented the Old Testament and Ruth represented the New Testament church of the Gentile bride. The Old Testament being a shadow of the New Testament gives us sound direction on many of the choices we are confronted with, as they can control our destiny. Ruth, the New Testament, was daily doing what was needed for survival when she heard a powerful voice instructing her to stay in his field for the entire season and not stray into any other field. Boaz did not want her to be influenced by any other voices but his. Ruth went home and told Naomi, the representative of the Old Testament, all that happened. The Old Testament spoke back with wisdom, instructing her to stay in Boaz's fields with his maidens, waiting for the next step of guidance from the grace of Boaz. The Old Testament representative was very familiar with what happens when one leaves the land they are told to stay in. When Naomi went on her sojourn to Moab, she lost her husband and both sons, only to return empty. Naomi and Ruth, both in the place they were meant to be, begin to see God's blessings of grace once again. Ruth, the representative of the New Testament Gentile church, made up of you and I, recognized the importance of staying under the covering of the pure word of God by never giving ear to any other field. And when Israel, under the leadership of Joshua and on their way to their promised land, had to pass the borders of the Edomites and Moabites, God gave instruction through Joshua not to stop and fellowship with them. If they needed food or water on their journey, they were instructed not to receive anything without paying for it. God clearly wanted no worldly influences on his believers. He therefore tried to prevent them from hearing voices of other beliefs while they were not yet in their promised fields. It is no different today. We must stay in his field of the pure word of God. This is the Old Testament shadowing the New Testament, allowing God to interpret his own word without relying on man's thinking. And when you see the shadow, you will know with all certainty the real, especially when very close, since it will be just like the shadow. When you see it, you will know it is his interpretation and time to act on it. 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation.